The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Good day, everyone, and welcome again to another edition of Boomer Generation Radio. This is your host, Richard Address. We are coming to you live from WWDB AM 860 and streaming live on WWDBAM.com. This morning, a very, very interesting and exciting show dealing with a survey of Boomer Generation women conducted by Girlfriends Magazine. And we'll be back to greet the owner of that magazine and the person who created this survey right after these messages.
Today, many families are expressing a growing interest in preserving the values, thoughts, and experiences of their older members so that future generations can benefit from their wisdom. This is Steve Lubetkin from Lubetkin Communications. We can create a family legacy video you'll treasure for years to come. Get more information now at lubetkin.net or call 856-751-5491. Mention Jewish Sacred Aging and you'll get a 10% discount on your family legacy video project.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Good day again, and welcome again to Boomer Generation Radio. This is your host, Richard Address, and we are very excited to welcome to the studio this morning Toby Schwartz-Castle, the founder and co-editor and editor-in-chief of Girlfriends Magazine, local-based but national in scope magazine dealing with baby boomer and baby boomer women, and on the line, I hope. And the magic of electronics, and Tony, our producer, Dr. Vicki Hanfield, a clinical licensed psychologist who has her own electronic radio blog show, I think, and is also involved now in professional coaching around the issues of health and wellness. So welcome, Dr. Hanfield, and welcome back to WWDB, Toby. It's nice to see you both. And listen to you both, and so thank you.
Thank you. Nice to be here,
Toby. What's Girlfriends Magazine? How did it start? What was the genesis of this whole thing?
I'm a baby boomer woman. I had nothing to read as far as periodicals. We have a lot of regional magazines in southern New Jersey. Nothing targeted just to baby boomer women. I'm a writer. I've been a writer, I think, since I was born. I was a freelance writer at the time. Before that, I was in advertising. I worked for Kalish and Rice and for John Wanamaker department stores. Then I wrote a book about long-term care. And I thought, you know, I need some help finding resources. So essentially, it was going to be a resource guide. But I did my research, did some focus groups, and found out that that wasn't necessary, that something more of a lifestyle magazine was more in line with what was wanted and needed by the public. So I created Girlfriends, and I've been doing it for 5 years now. About 2.5 years ago, I brought on Diane Russ. She's my co-owner. She's my publisher. She's my rock. And we work together. With us are an account executive, Claudia Ferrace. And everybody laughs, but she's our administrative assistant, but I call her our administrative assistant, because she's my sister, Molly Lou Conrad. And together with our designers, we put together the magazine. It's a bi-monthly. We have fantastic designers. And, you know, it's been embraced. That's all I can say.
How is it distributed?
It's directly mailed to 20,000 homes in Camden, Burlington, and Gloucester counties. Another 1,000 are distributed by hand because we do an enormous amount of events and appearances. Mm-hmm.
So if somebody listening wants to, no matter where they are, wants to get a hold of an edition of Girlfriends Magazine real fast at the beginning, how do they do that?
Just go to our website, www.girlfriendswithazmag.com, and they'll see current issue, archives, how to subscribe. We always have a wonderful contest. Our newest issue with Margaret Cho on the cover is coming out tomorrow, and then our contest will be up, and our events are up, and this survey that we're talking about, that Vicki and I are going to be talking about.
Dr. Hanfield, you are involved in a coaching business as part of your practice of dealing with people staying healthy no matter what their age. You were responsible, from what I understand, for really working to create this survey on baby boomer women. What motivated you to do this? What was the driving force? I'd love to know that.
Well, being a boomer myself and also having worked with thousands of boomer age women over the last 30 years, I've really learned a lot. And although I'm an eternal optimist, I see some areas where all of us need some help. And I thought it would be really, really useful as well as fun to get a survey on some major, major topic issues and see where women are perceiving their stresses, their coping strategies, and their needs. So I was very excited to co-author this with Jackie Pantoliano and Toby, and we just had a wonderful time putting it together. It was so encouraging to get such a great response, too. We got more than we expected, and it really shows us, you know, how women in this age range are very much in need of, as Toby said, resources and information. I love how she called it the Thinking Woman's Magazine.
So how was this survey conducted? Is it telephone? Was it internet? Was it combination? Did you just hang out at the Cherry Hill Mall and grab people as they came out of whatever?
Well, internet.
Internet. Okay.
We may be boomers, but we're pretty good with technology.
No, I hear you. I hear you much better than I am probably. So this was an internet survey. Could you just, you know, real fast, about how many respondents?
Just about 200. Yeah.
How many?
About 200.
200. Okay. Mm-hmm. One of the interesting results here is if I'm quoting the survey correctly, 61% of the baby boomer women surveyed said that their lives were harder than expected. I looked at that, and it's the first thing that jumped out of me when I saw this. Walk me through that. What does that mean? Someone.
Oh, I thought it was Vicki who was going to. Vicki, do you want to take that?
I would really be happy to answer that question. Women today, you know, we don't really get enough opportunity to reflect on how far we've come and the massive changes that our generation has made. We grew up at a time when most women were not working outside the home, when women's identities were completely tied to roles of homemaker, mother, and wife. And we have ventured out into the world and created careers. There's been just massive social change around this, which has been stressful for everyone, men as well. And I think that is largely responsible for the perception that lives are harder than expected at this stage. I do think that the current recession has added to that very significantly, but I think the bottom line is the amount of social change we've created and experienced.
Go ahead, Tom.
What's also very different about our generation is that many, and I will not say all, but many in our mother's generation, if they went to college, would get a job, and as soon as they met their man, they would get married and they would quit. I never understood that, but they would do that. And certainly after they had children, they would never think of going back to work. with our generation, we went to college. If we met a husband, we got married, but we still worked. If we had children, we had the children, and we still worked. And we continue to work. You know, there are people who are baby boomers who are now over the age of 65, and they're not even thinking about retiring, whether it's for financial reasons or not. Maybe they don't need to work, but they still want to work.
Now, it's interesting, reflecting back just on when I was ordained as a clergy person in the early 70s, that I was ordained as a rabbi of the first class with Rabbi Priestan, the first woman to be ordained as a rabbi. And, you know, remembering the 60s and the 70s and every single social change and the feminist revolution in America, the feminist revolution in religion, what that has meant, and the subsequent changes in family dynamics, which is where I do a lot of my research and teaching, that has been overwhelming. One of the issues that came up, and when we were talking about this before the show, and also I think is embedded in the survey, is we now have an increasing number of women who are the primary breadwinner in a family. Talk to me about what that has done to the concept of the family and gender perceptions and gender roles and reversals.
Vicki, you want to address
working
that?
Working with couples, I have seen dynamics for many, many years now, issues of control, issues of gender roles in terms of the tasks around the household that need to be done. A lot of conflict between husbands and wives. Many husbands grew up at a time when their dads went to work, came home, and basically relaxed or had their own toys. They may have played with the kids, but their role models were not that of helping around the house. So that just really hasn't been in their, almost in their genetic structure. And women tend to expect men to see the things that they think need to be done, and then they just do them. And the resentment piles up over many, many years. Many women don't speak up for themselves unless they get, you know, highly stressed, angry, resentful, and then, you know, create an argument. And that frequently doesn't resolve anything. So it's led to some very, very unhappy marriages. There are other issues, but that's one of the most common, most core issues in many troubled relationships that I've, people that I've worked with.
Now, let me ask you, following up on that, it's a somewhat delicate question, but it kind of like comes out of what you've been just saying. In some background, in part of my teaching in a doctor of ministry program in New York, I've run across a lot of priests who have come from Nigeria and settled in the New York area and are working with their families who have come from Nigeria. And this role reversal is very, very pronounced and has led to some real family dysfunction and some rise in that community. It's an immigrant tribal community from Africa on abuse, on spousal abuse. And I'm wondering, in your experience as a practitioner and as some of the comments that may have come through the survey, have you indicated, have you found one of the genesis of a rise in domestic violence, this role reversal and follow-up? Has this led, in your experience, Dr. Hanfield, to a rise in divorce and baby boomer families with this role reversal?
Yes, I would say yes to each of those. I haven't worked directly with highly abusive situations. I have worked with many women who have chosen to leave such situations. Many men who are physically abusive do not elect to seek treatment. That's becoming a little bit more common now, but for the bulk of my experience, it has not been. But I would say absolutely. Men are very, very frustrated with what they experience as the conflicting demands and the loss of manhood that's part of their reality, and that's something that hasn't been addressed frequently. In fact, I just spoke to a woman yesterday whose husband was laid off after a 20-year pretty high-level position. And it hasn't become abusive, but she didn't understand the need to try to be helpful to him and just has become increasingly upset with him, angry, and arguing with him. And I said, well, how about if you take a step back and say, listen, I know this is hard for you. How can I help you in your search for a job? Or how can I help you feel better about yourself? What could we do together to improve that? And she looked at me really in astonishment at that idea, and I'm hoping that she begins to put it into practice. But these are all ways of thinking and ways of being that nobody had role models for before.
Right. You're listening to Boomer Generation Radio on WWDB AM 860, streaming live on WWDBAM.com. And we're joined this morning by Toby Schwartz Castle, the founder and co-owner and editor-in-chief of Girlfriends Magazine, and Dr. Vicki Hanfield, a licensed clinical psychologist and coach on health and aging issues here in studio. And we'll be back to them in just a second. I just want to mention one of our sponsors and bring you a message from the Hecht Investment Group of Janney Montgomery Scott. This Hecht Investment Group provides a concierge financial consulting and planning service, and they use a formal investment process as their foundation, in which clients receive frequent communication and rapid response to questions. There are no needs greater than your own when it comes to personal financial planning. And the Hecht Investment Group provides experience, guidance, and an efficient management process that is important in today's environment. Contact the Hecht Investment Group toll-free at 855-289-2168. That's 855-289-2168. And you can also visit them at hechtinvestmentgroup.com or on Facebook, LinkedIn, and on Twitter. That's the Hecht Investment Group, 855-289-2168. So Girlfriends Magazine, Toby, you mentioned briefly you do some events associated with the magazine. Before we go back to the survey, why don't you just walk me through some of the things that are built into Girlfriends Magazine's vis-a-vis the events that you sponsor?
Yes. The events started when I was on my own. And I'm a writer, but I had to find a way to sell. So I just made a lot of cold calls, which were very uncomfortable. But when I finally got in front of people, I said, you know what? If you buy a year's worth of advertising from me, I'll do an event for you and I'll bring a bunch of women into your store. And that's how I signed on advertisers at the beginning. And so the women came and it said to me that, yeah, women want to know about the different stores and women like to shop and women like to nibble. But you know what? They like to bond more than anything else. And what I started to find was that it didn't just help my advertisers, it also helped girlfriends. So now, in addition to all the free events that we do, because those were free events, and we're still, tomorrow night, we've got a free event at Care One in Evesham, a beautiful assisted living facility. Sorry it's closed out because we always have maximums, you know. But that's a cooking demonstration and eating. And, you know, we love to do that and wine. So we started to expand. Now we do something called a mystic dinner where we have a psychic, Carol Tolan, and we choose a restaurant. We normally do it at Cucina by Sophia in Cherry Hill or Iliano's Cucina in Medford. And on September 25th, we'll be at Maggiano's at the Cherry Hill Mall. Our upcoming one is August 21st, where we have a wonderful dinner and Carol does a gallery reading. And at Girlfriends, you always get tons of prizes and we always sell out. We did it as an experiment last July and we are now working on our 12th one. August will be our 12th. The one in September is our 12.5th because we don't want to say 13th.
That's right.
Yeah. And then we also do trips. We're going to the Golden Inn for a girlfriend's weekend in January, and we take bus trips to Brooklyn, and we have
all
a lot
high spots.
All the hot. Well, Brooklyn has some gorgeous neighborhoods, I know. I never knew that. The first time we went, we ate our way through Brooklyn. We did a pizza tour. This time, December 7th, we're going to be looking at Christmas lights. We're going to eat. We're going to have cannoli afterward and hot chocolate and lots of prizes.
Dr. Hanfield, I want to come back to something that seems to be in my work in baby boomer aging, and in we found in my own website that the issue of caregiving. How did that come up in the survey? Because we know that the statistics that the average caregiver in this country is a woman in their 40s who is working and still caring for a parent. How did that come across in the survey vis-a-vis the stress and strains of trying to juggle a family, a career, children, parents, caregiving? It's very, very stressful.
That's something that really needs attention. I'm glad you're asking about that. What I saw was that although the numbers were higher than the average population in terms of indicators of people doing well, there were still very high numbers showing that there were quite a few people struggling really, really intensely and doing poorly in many areas. And I believe that being a caregiver definitely is a major contributing factor to that. Most caregivers, the majority of them being women, one of the women's major issues that I've seen is we just don't tend to do a lot that's positive for ourselves. We tend to take care of others, oftentimes excessively. We get, overly worried about getting absolutely every single thing done, anticipating every single thing, and not carving out enough time for our own health care, our own time for ourselves. And we pay a huge cost when we do that.
I work with a lot of, not only in my aging work, but also in the congregation, a lot of people who are intensely involved with caregiving. And every time I tell them to just make sure you get rest and eat properly and take some time out for yourself, and they, and a lot of, yes, I will. But is there a sense of guilt that if I do take 5 hours out of the time and get my hair done or go to a movie or go out to lunch with my girlfriends, there's a sense of guilt that I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing for my loved one?
Absolutely. I think unreasonable levels of guilt are really pervasive in our culture. I think that we are making some rather significant shifts in some portions of the population. I'd like to see it become a lot more widespread in terms of maximizing longevity and maximizing the time that we do have. I think it carries over into the workplace as well. Women, as you said, are the primary breadwinners in many families. Many women have advanced in their careers. And in the business setting, what I'm finding as a coach is many women do not take good enough care of themselves and as a result are so highly stressed that they really have trouble managing effectively. Yes, there is still bias where if women act more aggressively or more strongly, they may be misperceived. I think you know the word that I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
But frequently they do behave in a very abrupt, tight, non-cooperative manner. And they don't realize how they're coming across and how the quality of their communication really dramatically affects all the others in their workplace.
Do you think, on the basis upon what you've seen in the magazine and the survey, it's a little off-the-wall question maybe, but is this intimidating to most men, this new baby boomer woman?
Oh, I think absolutely. There certainly are more secure men who really don't have a problem with it, and often they're men who grew up in households with sisters and had good relationships with their mothers, their aunts, and had women all around them growing up. Men who did not have that experience and who grew up in a highly traditional family environment really have a lot of trouble with it. They are intimidated, they're angered, their perceptions are a little skewed. You know, they tend to feel criticized if they're not praised constantly. It's a very difficult situation. But, you know, a little bit of reframing that I do, a little bit of, you know, talking about the history and the shift that we've been making and the importance of good communication, that can really do a lot in a workplace environment. It can be really helpful. It just helps people relax and relate to each other better.
So we're unfortunately running out of time. I have to ask this one quick question, though. Our children's generation, baby boomer, our children's generation, who've now observed this shift, this social shift, change in roles, et cetera, et cetera. How are you is their generation, are my kids' generation, your kids' generation, are they going to be better able to handle this dual role, gender role, and change in family structure?
I think in some ways, yes. But there's another side of the coin. I like to say that every story has five sides. A lot of the children have been parented by helicopter mothers and fathers, and they haven't been given the opportunities to develop their own sense of responsibility out of excess guilt and fear because of the shift into working full-time. Many mothers, many parents have done too much for their children, and these children have trouble being independent. I think that's where their greatest challenges lie.
Right. So as we conclude, and we apologize, we've run out of time on this whole bunch of things, so hopefully I'm going to have you all back to do this again. Toby, real fast, I want to get involved with Girlfriends Magazine. This sounds very interesting. How do I do that?
Please go to our website, or you can write me, TOBI@girlfriendswithaZ.com. You can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/girlfriends, always with a Z, and our website, girlfriendsmag.com.
And if I want to pick up a copy of this, how do I do that?
You can subscribe.
Okay, and subscribe through the website.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So you've been listening to another edition of Boomer Generation Radio. We're very, very pleased to have with us again today Toby Schwartz-Castle, the founder and co-owner and editor of Girlfriends Magazine, and Dr. Vicki Hanfield, a clinical psychologist in private practice in South Jersey who helped create this Boomer Women's Survey. We also want to thank Jackie for being here and, of course, Tony. Well, to all of you, have a very, very wonderful day. We'll see you next week on another edition of Boomer Generation Radio.